May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. All of the places that we go that are other than God ultimately come up leaving us wanting. This becomes clearer to us as we age, as we grow in our Christian spiritual faith journeys, and perhaps as we grow in wisdom. The human mind and condition brings us to many places during our lifetime as we search for meaning and value for the experiences of our lives. A larger question for all of us is the universal and eternal one. What is the meaning of life? Yet perhaps the more important question is, what gives life meaning? What gives life meaning? The former Archbishop of Canterbury, George Carey, wrote in his book, Why I Believe in a Personal God, the following. He said, meaning and value in ordinary life we can accept and understand. Such experiences and relationships make our existence valuable. But is there value and meaning in the universe itself? Can it be, he writes, that it has been created by a maker who loves us eternally and who pours meaning into this mysterious creation? The gospel answer today, a rather confusing gospel, the gospel answer to this last question would be the resounding yes to which Jesus Christ speaks. What is he trying to get across in his conversation about the owner and the manager, or the owner and the steward? What does he want his hearers to take away? Well, it really, at the deepest level, gets to their identifying who he is. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he your life above all else? Above wealth, above politics, above power, above work, above our hobbies and interests? This is the question that Jesus asks in the parable of the rich man and the manager. Where are you faithful? Where are you faithful? Today, more than yesterday, the question should be central to all other questions. In other words, who is Jesus Christ in your life? A simple yet profound answer which God wants all of us to come to is Jesus Christ is my life. the one I serve daily in thought, word, and deed, the one I spend time with in prayerful conversation and reflection each day, the one who listens to me like no other and whom I trust with my innermost thoughts and feelings. God wants Jesus Christ to be your life. Because with Jesus Christ as your life, as that filter, if you will, that everything else passes through, you will indeed be, as St. Paul said, a new creation. You cannot act in the old ways. It's no longer about you. It's about Jesus and it's about others. It's not about how am I being served, but rather how may I serve. And the starting point for Jesus Christ to be your life is Holy Communion. It is in the consecrated bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said so powerfully, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." It's kind of hard to get around those words, isn't it? I'm always amazed when I bring communion to someone who is shut in or someone who is sick, where it is clear that the Eucharist is so central to their very being. And those are words that I say as part of the service that I lead. Jesus said, "Unless you eat of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." It is life-giving no matter where we find ourselves. It is no mere coincidence that we celebrate the Holy Eucharist 52 Sundays a year, as well as at least every Wednesday of the year, plus additional services at St. John's. We are a sacramental church. We have the sacrament here, and we carry the sacrament from this place to others. The Eucharist, the Greek word for thanksgiving, is the sacrament commanded by Christ for the continual remembrance of his life, death, and resurrection until his coming again. So this is not a sermon about church attendance. It is a sermon about the fact that you need regular Eucharist in your life. The prayer that we're going to say in just a matter of 10 or so minutes, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again," proclaims what was, what is, and what will be. And it is through the grace of that sacrament, when you come forward, that you and I receive forgiveness of our sins, a foretaste of God's heavenly banquet, the kingdom of God, and a strengthening of our union not only with those that have gone on before us, the multitude of saints, but also with Jesus Christ himself. We receive life itself, both now and eternally. You know, I wish that we would, not us per se, maybe some of us, but the world per se, would take receiving communion as seriously as it does taking a daily vitamin. We give that all kinds of thought, don't we? Little known fact about me is I take lots of vitamins. But what really upset me is when I had to go to the Centrum 50 plus. I pick up the silver centrum when no one's looking. And then I lay it like the other way, you know? Hey, they don't need to know that I'm a silver centrum. I'm also not convinced there's really anything in that that's really better for us over 50 than the other, but we do it, don't we? Imagine if we approach the Eucharist that way. Now, we don't have it categorized up there. Oh, you're over 50. We have communion. This is the Jesus that you want. But yet, wherever you are in your life, Jesus comes into you at that point. So Jesus does, in fact, meet the need that you have this very day, this very hour. Jesus meets us where we are. There are so many parts of your lives. There's your work, perhaps your retirement, your family, your friends, sports, gardening perhaps, mowing, certainly in Kentucky, hobbies, and even horses. And these are not necessarily bad things. In fact, they're very good things. They're things that add depth and meaning to your life. We have a very talented community of faith here with people that do all kinds of things, from musicians to artists to writers and on and on. But Jesus Christ must take precedence over it all for both of us. Jesus asserts that he is our true food and our true drink. And being at the Eucharist is so important. It was early in the second century that St. Ignatius described the Eucharist as the medicine of immortality and the antidote that we should not die, but live life forever in Jesus Christ. Christ calls us to live a life which is centered in the Eucharist. Jesus does not call us to a privatized faith. As much as we might feel God in the field, in the mountains, at the beach, wherever that is for you, God is present there. But Jesus called us to gather around this table as well, because it is within the Eucharist that we identify Christ, and together we're empowered because we receive him into our lives and acknowledge in witness to one another that he is known to us in word and sacrament. And as you come to know the Lord more in the Eucharist, you are becoming more like him. You're saying, Jesus, I want you to be my life. We know that what we take into our bodies affects who we are. We're inundated with that every day. The Eucharist nourishes us and grows us like no other food. John Bancroft, in a little book entitled The Eucharistic Way, writes, "The witness to the effectiveness of the Eucharistic food is overwhelming." He writes, "Week by week and sometimes day by day, believers receive food at the Lord's table. Their need may arise from a special crisis or simply from the daily struggle to be a Christian among the ambiguities of modern society." Whatever the reason, communicants come to the Eucharist hungry and leave with the nourishment necessary to continue their pilgrimage. So today we begin with the Eucharist. You say with me, we want to keep Jesus the center of our lives through the bread and wine. And it makes it a real possibility. A number of years ago at a White House breakfast for religious leaders, President Bush the Elder once told the story of a little boy who offered up this simple prayer: "God bless mother and daddy, my brother and sister, and God, do take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we are all sunk." Who is Jesus Christ? He is your life. He is my life. without whom we are sunk. Amen.